Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be with you once again. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. It's good to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus anytime, but as we have in a particular way, have that brought before our remembrance today. Our topic today, however, would be concerning the names of God. And as we do, the one that I've chosen to speak on this morning, I pray that we'll be reminded of the Lord and His resurrection. For the topic today is looking at El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And as we see one of the names of God, that we might say one of the lesser used names of God. Should have had that on. But nonetheless, we see that in some of the names that are used less than others, when we say that, we have names like Jehovah used some 6,000 times, Elohim 2,500 times, and yet there are some names used just a handful of times, a few dozen times, or maybe even just a time. And yet the context of where we find these different names of God is very significant. We see a pattern often. And as we look at the El Shaddai this morning, we want to think about the All-Sufficient One. As we think of the Almighty is the term we often find for El Shaddai. So in connection with the resurrection, we think in mind of the All-Sufficient One who has paid for our sins, and how that the Lord Jesus did not stay in that grave, how that the Father was so pleased with His dear Son. As He was risen from the dead, we see that what a stamp of approval upon what the Lord Jesus had done. He did the Father's perfect will. And yet we can think in terms of going from Genesis on through the Word of God, reminders and teachings about that resurrection. And we see He is the all-sufficient one. We see, for example, in Genesis 22, we find there with Abraham and Isaac how Abraham was told to take thine son, thine only son Isaac, to be a sacrifice. And when he did so, we see how later in the book of Hebrews we'd refer to him in how that Abraham, in faith before God, counted that he was able to raise him from the dead. If he had to go through with that sacrifice, God was able to raise him from the dead. And we see again a reminder there of the Father in heaven giving His dear Son. And yet we know He did not stay in the grave. He rose again. We think in terms of going through into the poetic books. We think of the Messianic Psalms, and as it was reminded to us even this morning in reading, as we remember the Lord in Psalm 16, that He would not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. Centuries before it would occur, the psalmist would say these very words.
Amen.
And yet we go on further. We go on into the prophets, and we think of how one of the minor prophets, Jonah, he would be referred to by the Lord Himself, that the Son of Man would be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth, so as was Jonah in the belly of the fish. And what a reminder that the Lord Jesus, He did not stay in the grave, just in like manner that that one Jonah did not stay in the depths of the sea in the belly of the fish. He was back on dry ground. And we see the Lord Jesus resurrected after 3 days. We go into the New Testament, we see in the Gospels and how the women that were followers of the Lord Jesus, they went to the tomb upon the first day of the week. And here come John and Peter running, as it were, to see as well and to peep into the, and to look and to identify with the empty tomb. He's not here. He is risen. We go into the book of Acts and we see the historical book of Acts, and time and again, the gospel is presented, and we see the sermons in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church age. And what do we see time and again in the preaching of the gospel? It speaks of the resurrected one. He's not here. He's ascended back to glory, for He's resurrected. We go into the epistles, and we see throughout the epistles the teaching of the resurrection and how without His resurrection, our faith is in vain. And when we see the power that raised Him from the dead, the Scripture would speak about what great power there is in the gospel and what has done, and the power in saving us, and the power of what position we have now in Christ because of the resurrection. So we see throughout the Word of God, we see pictures and identification and the historical account, and yet then a reminder of the risen one. So with that, let's turn to the book of Genesis and look at some of the passages that would speak about the one we want to think of today as the all-sufficient one. God Almighty, the one that sent His Son, the one who is sufficient in every area of our lives. We start with a man named Abram in chapter 11. And as the Lord would call him, we see him in chapter 12. And he's being told by the Lord to get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. As we see this man Abram being called to move on, to follow the Lord, we are reminded as we study some of the patriarchs of how the all-sufficient one would make himself known in times of difficulty. You know, we need that reminder, don't we? When we are in midst of trial and